America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To carry the two, almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I still, and we did.
That's
we
not have, the right math, by the way, but okay.
2.5 hours? No, you'll hear where I'm going with this, because okay. It's 2.5 hours since we had Albert on.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you are dead on with your math. Way
Thank
to math
you.
Today, buddy.
Thank you. I'm known for my math.
That's what people
Thank
say about you.
Thank you very much. Nick Wilson, Ivy League, math, self-control. Those are the things. Yeah. But I was just reminded of this because we put up on the afternoon drive and on 92.3 The Fan on our Twitter, on X, we just put up the Albert Breer clip of Albert saying he hasn't heard of any changes coming to Cleveland, and this is the winds of change season. Like, we find out about the public finds out about it in January, or, you know, the random firings happen in season, but most of it, all the dirty laundry comes out on Black Monday.
Yeah.
Most of the NFL knows this stuff is coming down the pike for several weeks after. I just can't get over Albert saying he just has heard nothing about changes in Cleveland.
Well, you're not suggesting that Albert's lying to us. I think
No.
we all trust that Albert would tell us if he knew something. I genuinely think that he's not hearing anything.
That's just why. Like, yeah, I kind of had, because I think that's how we opened the conversation with him, was asking about changes. And, like, I was even, you know, maybe, oh, is there a whisper of the Paul DePodesta thing, which Lima put out there today, that Lima thinks, you know, or sees that, or hears, or whatever, that DePodesta is being phased out and over into the business side of things. Not even that.
Which, by the way, if I don't know what you do to begin with anyway, why am I bothered if you're being phased out?
Because you want him gone, because you just think...
Oh, no, we want him gone, but yeah. Also I have no idea what he does. So I have no idea if his input on any of this is 1%, 90%. I have zero idea.
I think the consensus is, around football, that he is maybe the most powerful guy in the organization, not named Jimmy Haslam.
The consensus is that?
I think a lot
of people believe he is the person that Jimmy Haslam listens to the most, which might make him the most powerful.
That's exactly what I think I was going for.
Okay, that's fair.
And so I don't know, man. If they think that we're just going to roll on and it's going to be Deshaun and DePodesta going over to the business side but staying in the organization, and Andy Dickerson, if they really think that that's going to satiate the Browns fans' bloodlust, man, do I think they are misreading the tea leaves here.
Or is it just the idea that they're judging Stefanski off the next remaining part of the games of the schedule, and that's really what we're going off of, which, by the way, I don't know that that's the greatest thing in the world to be assessing off of. I think the assessment can probably already either be made or not made for next year.
Yeah, I'm so wildly uncomfortable with this team trying to get to 7-10. And then saying that that's a victory.
You know they will. You know they will.
Yeah, and we're going to have to scream them down on that.
Okay. Can we make a pact right now?
Well, yeah, because
7-10 doesn't change our opinion on anything.
Yeah, no. And listen, fans are going to like it because you're going to win games. And I get that. But in the end, fans will also be the first ones to gripe of, hey, we don't have a top 10 pick. We have the 11th pick, and we can't get towards a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, The fans will always, and it's totally understandable. Fans want their cake and eat it too. They want the best draft pick, and they want the most amount of wins. And the reality is, and I'm going to continue to harp on this, I don't want to be the Saints.
Right.
I don't. Like, I just think that is a disaster zone where you're going to have expectations that are outsized every year because, well, you know, we've got the same core that we had with Drew Brees. Well, all those dudes are older, and none of those dudes are as good as they were 5 years ago. Oh, and by the way, your quarterback, the way you've approached it has sunk you as well. Oh, and by the way, you didn't hire, so in this case, they hired Dennis Allen to follow up Sean Payton, so that's where it's not applicable, but you've got a head coach that also limits your ceiling. Like, I don't, like, this idea of, hey, you know, yeah, this season, listen, I get that you might want to just say, hey, it's one season, there's a lot, you know, we're a 500 team altogether. Before this season, we're more than a 500 team. I understand the impulse. I would also say you're going into a season where I don't know how much you can judge about what you're going to be able to do. If you're capped because you're moving off of Deshaun Watson, and if you're capped because you have to make a couple other decisions on veterans, right, like Joe Batonio and Wyatt Teller.
Right.
And this draft has, I'm sure there are some really good parts of this draft, but quarterback to this point isn't one. Oh, and there's not a quarterback out there as of right now that we all look at and go, that's the guy that's going to change the franchise. I think everybody's thinking, well, we'll get back to 9-8, which in and of itself, the middle of the road.
But right, I think it's Super Bowls that we talked about previously.
I think it's more likely you just might follow up a 7-10 season with another 7-10 season, and you will have, you're going to be no closer to where you want to be.
Yeah. It's hard to develop and put together football teams. Like, this is all incredibly hard. And the Browns right now are in the worst spot out of... Are they in the absolute worst spot in the entire NFL right now, as we're currently speaking? I don't know how it gets much worse, Nick. Like, there's no way out right now. That's the hard part in these discussions. We keep talking about, could they be the Vikings? Could they be the Broncos? Could they be one of these teams that drafts a quarterback next year and then also picks up another quarterback like a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields type, and then you just kind of let them battle it out and go from there? But in the meanwhile of all this, we have no idea who the GM is going to be. We have no idea who the head coach is going to be. We have no idea who's going to be here. You see how hard this all is?
Yeah, and here's the problem. If you make this about the record, you will have missed... And I'm saying the Haslam ownership group. If you make this about the record, you will have missed the ever-loving storyline. It's about Deshaun. And this is not about bloodlust or pound of flesh. You don't have your Brock Purdy. If we make the Trey Lance comparison, you don't get to make the absolute worst trade in franchise history. In NFL history, because that's what it is now. I said, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not calling it the worst trade until there's no more here. It's apparent. He is not a part of the plans in the future. You're not doing it. Even if he's here, he's going to be in the shadows as some sort of shell factory version of a Cleveland Brown. He's going to be the 53rd guy with no chance to play, or at least that's the intent. There's no way to salvage this. It's the worst trade in franchise history. And the idea that you're just going to go, it didn't work out, we're going to see you next year.
I think that's the plan right now.
That is wildly insulting to Browns fans, to you and me and to everybody else.
I think that's the plan right now.
I
don't think Albert's wrong here. I think that the idea that he's not hearing anything, I think that's the plan right now. I really do. It's not that I'm sitting here and advocating for this. I don't believe based off of what we've seen with Kevin Stefanski, and then based off of what we've seen with him with Deshaun Watson, I think that they look at him and say, it's a good play caller. We feel like he can be the guy moving forward, and they're going to give him another opportunity. Almost as if they're giving him a Deshaun Watson pass.
You had thrown that out in the pre-show meeting of who... There was it. Who are we giving the Watson pass to?
Yeah, who are you giving the pass to around the Browns that you just say, I feel so... awful for you, essentially, because you were put in a situation with Deshaun Watson that you basically, it was an unsolvable puzzle. You had no chance of making it work. You had no chance of it succeeding. And so because of all that, through no action of your own doing, you got put in a spot that stinks to the high heavens. We're going to give you a pass because of it.
Yeah, this is set up for Kevin to actually be that guy.
And I think from I don't know how the Cleveland market in general will feel about it, but I think from a Albert Breer, I remember Ross Tucker a couple weeks ago told us, oh, well, yeah, I mean, between Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, those are two top 10 at their respective spots. I think from that perspective, those guys, the guys that we're talking to that come in, I think they're going to look at Kevin Stefanski and they're going to give him that pass.
I think you're going to hear it on this station.
You might.
All I hear is how powerless Kevin Stefanski is. That's all I hear. Guys, that's giving him a pass on Deshaun. That's giving him a pass on how the things ended with Baker. And I can't, like, the head coach and the GM, even if Dee Podesta has some, you know, Svengalian kind of hold over Jimmy Haslam, these guys were a huge reason why Deshaun was here. And this whole idea of, well, he was just washed and that's just, you know, Kevin couldn't have done anything about that. Then why did we do the offense thing?
Why did we change the offense?
Which, by the way,
I think that was in hindsight, we're going to look at that as like a last ditch effort by Stefanski.
Yeah, and I probably should have been the first ditch effort.
Well, I think that's why a lot of us were kind of wondering what was going on in training camp. Why is he all of a sudden deciding to stray from what he believed to his core would work? Why was he trying to make all these moves? I think he was like, this is my Hail Mary. Didn't work in 2 years. I got to try something different.
Yeah, but again, like you mentioned something earlier about this era of head coaches who it's like, and again, by the way, this is not a brand new thing, but specific to offensive coaches, it is you're going to run my offense, and if you just play on auto, like basically sim version,
yeah,
you can't screw this up.
It's Shanahan, and really McVay is the one that has kind of dialed into this idea of like, I can turn my quarterback into being a robot,
yeah,
and you're just going to, it's like we're playing Madden. I'm just going to tell you what to do, and then that's why people love Kirk Cousins. I can tell you what to do, and then like in Madden, you just go and execute the play. And the quarterbacks that these guys love the most are those type of guys. They don't really think for themselves in any sort of way. They're just being told to go out there and execute what Sean McVay wants, what Shanahan wants. That's why Brock Purdy is as good as he is in San Francisco.
And I think that works if you don't have a franchise.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Franchise quarterback, right? But when you're given somebody who's supposed to be a franchise quarterback, the worst thing you can do is say, you need to fit within my scheme instead of my scheme needs to adapt to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can make an argument if you want to like unravel and unpack all this to begin with. When Deshaun signed here, it should have been Deshaun's offense and nobody else would have ever interfered with that.
Yes, and I think that's why I can't. Now, again, does that rise to the level of fireability? I don't know that I've made that mind up yet. But people are, and there are people on this station, and I'm trying to be respectful because we just have a difference of opinion.
Well,
that's fine.
And again, too, this stuff is so, I mean, think about it. It changes within every week, it feels
but
like.
But I'll be honest with you, there are people giving him the pass because, and that's what the he has no power thing gives kudos to. Well, this is happening to Kevin. No, Kevin is an active participant, as is Andrew Berry. Nobody deserves a pass. I don't know that that means automatically everybody should be fired. Because I think there's a real risk in firing everybody. But man, this idea of anybody getting a pass, or I guess it was just a bad moment in time. It was three years.
I don't think Andrew Berry is going to get the Watson pass. I think this is going to fall on Andrew Berry in a heavy way, the way it kind of has fallen on Jimmy Haslam. I think when it's all said and done, Berry's going to be lumped into that. Mm-hmm. I think Stefanski is going to get a Watson pass from a lot of people.
So, but what does that mean? Like, what is a Watson
pass? That means they're going to look at him and say, oh, you poor thing. The previous 3 years wasn't your fault. The previous 3 years you got put in a situation nobody could have won with. They're going to prop up the Joe Flacco stuff. You're going to prop up the other times we've seen him with other quarterbacks, and you're going to say there's something in there. And I know there's something in there. I think they're also going to look at the fact that this has been the best Browns head coach since 99. And they're going to say the Browns don't know what they're doing with head coaches anyway. So you keep a guy like that, and you make sure that you move forward with what is at least at minimum, it appears in their mind, I don't know, 15th in the NFL, somewhere around there as far as a head coach is concerned.
How many coaches get a pass because the backups and they weren't able to make it work with the starters?
No, but it is a very unprecedented situation, and I think people are going to latch on to that. The idea that we've never seen a Deshaun Watson-type situation on our hands.
Yeah, but at the same point, do we think Kevin didn't say, let's move on from Baker? Because I think Kevin had a lot more say than anybody wants to give credit for.
No, I think he did. I mean, he went to the Houston Hotel for a reason, right? He laid out the iPad. He was breaking down all the different ways he could incorporate Deshaun in. Like, that was a big plea. That was according to everything that we've read, that was a big part of it.
If Kevin wanted Baker here, guys, he would have been here. Even with a contract, if Kevin believed Baker was the guy.
Oh, no.
But how he's the head coach.
Know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that if he said, I want Baker here, if that would have been anything different there. I don't know about that.
Why not?
I just think that was either Barry. I don't know whether or not. We'll never know if that was Haslam or that was Barry, but I do think that part of it goes above Kevin Stefanski.
How? Why?
How?
He's the head coach. He's the offensive coordinator. How does this guy get credit for everything the offense ever does?
He's not the GM. And he doesn't make the decisions of the football team.
But yes, in terms of the quarterback, I guarantee you that guy has 100% say of what quarterbacks are on the... Yes.
No, I don't think I don't think it would have been there. I think it was
everything that's ever good that's happened to the offense is Kevin Stefanski's fault, and anything that ever bad has happened, well, that's on somebody else. That's just wildly
convenient.
We have
that provable. What part of that is? Isn't that the most logical?
He's the head coach and the offensive coordinator.
The GM makes the football decisions.
Yes, but
why would the head coach be able to say
because
we're going to keep
Baker?
Because
he's the offensive coordinator. Do you think John Lynch decides who's the quarterback?
That's an interesting setup that they have there. That's a little bit different.
What about Sean McVay or Les Snead?
Yeah, guys, you're talking about coaches, by the way, that have been to Super Bowls.
Kevin
Stefanski's never been there.
But
he didn't
have
that.
Did Sean McVay choose Jared Goff or did Les Snead?
No, Sean McVay did. A guy that has been to a Super Bowl.
He wasn't in a Super Bowl when he got hired there. Was did he choose Matt Stafford?
Well, that's what I thought you were talking about. That's what I thought you were talking about.
My point here is, how is it that he is this Teflon Don that just went any point of, oh no, bad feelings, this isn't good, he's the head coach and offensive coordinator.
I don't think it matters who the decision was with Baker when it comes to Stefanski. You want to put that at his feet,
They failed at two straight quarterbacks, and he's the head coach and offensive coordinator who, by the way, couldn't be bothered to relinquish control on offensive play calling until they were 2-6 and Deshaun Watson, or 2-5, and Deshaun's Achilles
snap. Let's play this clip for Maggie and Perloff this morning, because I'm telling you, this is what national people think.
Let's do it when we come back. You're going to hear one defense of Kevin Stefanski that lies in with our conversation here. Who are you giving the Deshaun Watson pass to? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. A bunch of interesting generalizations about the Cleveland Browns and their coaching searches there on the Infinity Sports Networks. Now, was this today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Okay, and it does kind of get into the who gets a pass for the Watson situation conversation that we're having here, but uncertainty surrounding the Browns for the rest of the season. There's plenty to evaluate in the second half of the season as well. Daryl and Andy talk it all out with their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. Subscribe to this podcast now at 923thefan.com on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. It's just wild to me that it's specific to the Deshaun thing, that this could happen and no one's questioning it. Like nobody, like the, in what that, what, well, why would you fire him? Well,
I think the difference here is you play with a different assumption than I feel like most people do in these discussions. Based off of what we just did last segment,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you play with the assumption that is the head coach's call. It is his call, and whether a quarterback gets traded, a quarterback gets benched, a quarterback and And I just think a lot of people don't look at it that way. I think a lot of people look at it like what happened in Chicago. Whose call was it to move off of Justin Fields and then go ahead and draft Caleb Williams? That was directly from Ryan Poles. That was the GM that made the call. And I feel like in more cases than not, it also is the GM that makes the call. And so I think a lot of people in this instance put this at the feet of Andrew Berry.
So,
and they put it at the feet of Jimmy Haslam. And they do give, in essence, a Deshaun Watson pass to Stefanski.
So with Baker, Baker actually put, like, I don't think Baker and Stefanski, I don't think that was it. I think there was frustration about the injury and playing through it. I think they, you know, Baker had called out Kevin apparently internally about not being on time for meetings and stuff like that. Like, I just think Kevin was a little overmatched by Baker, and I just don't think their personalities gelled. I do think it was Andrew Berry driving the bus to trade for Deshaun. But I think it's not just about the Deshaun trade. If you just, because I think the assumption is, I think you give a lot of people a pass if you just say, well, the trade was a bust from the moment it happened. There were 3 years of football here. There were 3 years to get it right.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot of complications here. But to just wash your hands of the head coach in this role is just wild to me. Like, the idea that Kevin had no say in Deshaun coming here, that's wild to me. The idea that Kevin couldn't have done anything to make this look any different is wild to me. I'll give you the 2022 mulligan, because for the first 11 games, it was Jacoby Brissett. But again, I need to know why you brought in a quarterback that didn't fit the offense that Deshaun Watson was going to run. So there's just so many parts of this that don't add up. I'll give you. Andrew Berry deserves no pass.
Don't have to give me anything. I mean, this is a fight you're going to have to take on with a bunch of other people that aren't me. I'm right there with you in trying to hold Stefanski as accountable as he should be for what happened during Deshaun Watson's tenure. But it seems like it's a 90-10 split. It seems very, very large in the other order that people are just ready to say, all right, that wasn't your fault, Stefanski. It just wasn't your fault.
I just think because of the Deshaun thing, I don't think anyone gets a pass.
I think people also really want to see what Stefanski could do with a real offense. I think people are excited for that. I think people in general know that Stefanski is not dumb. They know that he's a good play caller, and I'll give him that. I mean, I like him as a play caller. I do. I just think all this just spiraled so quickly for him, and I think there's a lot of the fan base, I think there's a lot of the national people in general too, that just want to have him, want to give him that mulligan and want to see whether or not it really is him or if it was Watson.
I think it's become a thing where people nationally refuse to call for jobs or ever think a head coach is fireable. Like, there, you like.
Oh, that's like the fun thing of doing national shows.
Well, Maggie.
You should hear me on Infinity Sports Network sometimes.
Maggie was talking about Robert Sala as if Robert Sala was some victim of the Jets. Did okay. You not see how the last five years have gone?
They were in the middle of playing a game of would it surprise you if this coach was fired or not? And they went through like four different coaches, and Stefanski was just in the middle of that.
Yeah, but no, fair. But
the segment prior, or the 3 minutes prior, they were both giving a death sentence to Eberflus's career in Chicago,
which is wild because he's got a better record this year, which I think is funny. But like this idea, like so why does the coach get a pass because the organization's a bad organization? That's another thing. Like, guys, Robert Saleh wasn't a good head coach. I didn't need Christopher Johnson to tell me that. Now, I don't think Kevin is a bad head coach. I wonder how much of his value is as a play caller. And guys, good offensive play callers are not that hard to find.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people are playing with an assumption that the Browns, because we have not been able to really nail down a head coach, I think they think that we would just bungle it. I don't think they're looking at it like you're looking at it.
So it's like me with quarterbacks?
No. I think in your mind, and you can tell me if I'm off or not, I think in your mind you're looking at it like it's either we get... If we fire Stefanski, there's Mike Vrabel, right? Mm-hmm. And Vrabel's a massive upgrade. I don't think anybody listening right now could make an argument against that. And I think the national media and everyone else is looking at it like, well, I don't know that Vrabel's going to be the guy. I don't know that he's going to say yes to this.
So we do have some calls on this. I want to get to Robert, Jack, Steven, 216-474-0092. Have we gotten to your the literal Peterlin pass on this? Because if not, we'll get to that next.
We can get to it next.
On 92.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.